Welcome back to the 980s podcast, hosted by yours truly, Kevin Thompson, founder and CEO of 99 Capital Group. Thank you guys for joining us. As I always say, subscribe to the channel. As I always say, go and get my book, MLB to CFP, live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@99capitalgroup.com. Send us your questions or you go to the website at www.99capitalgroup.com. Schedule an appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage. And today we're here to educate you. I have Eric J. Negron from Forefront. We're going to be talking about Future Proof Festival coming up. We're going to be talking about wealth management, and we're going to be talking about some of the things you need to know before you go and hire that financial advisor. You don't want to miss this one. Let's get it. We have Eric J. Negron on the call from Austin, my friend, Forefront Wealth Planning. Hey, man, I'm excited to have you because we have so much to talk about. Of course, we're going to talk about Future Proof. I want to know everything that happened at Future Proof, your experiences there. Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about wealth planning and things like that. We're going to keep it exciting, man. So I'm glad to have you, man. Thank you for joining the 980s podcast.
Well, Kevin, I'm super excited to be here, and I'm grateful that you asked me. And I have to say, I'm a big fan of your insatiable curiosity as a human being and your voracious appetite for information. And I've been watching you move through the matrix that is LinkedIn for some time now, and super impressed by what you're building and the impact that I'm seeing that you're having as elevating our profession. So super grateful to be here with you.
Man, I appreciate that, man. I always love the accolades, man. But again, it's never about me. I tell you that. It's always about my clients. I know, yeah, we got to say it was all about our clients, but I truly believe that because, again, that's the reason why I'm here today. And we'll start there, man. Like, what made you go out on your own? I know what made me go out on my own, right? I was tired of the industry, and I'm putting the industry in quotes, tired of the industry telling me no, tired of the industry telling me how I should do what I'm doing, and tired of being directed on what to sell, how to sell, and how to do it. So yep. What say you about that? Like, what directed you to go and start Forefront?
Hey, man, that's a great question. So, you know, every story, every journey starts with the beginning. And for me, like everybody who's listening on here and going to be listening to what Kevin, I'm not smarter than any of you that are on this call. I don't have any special talents. Here's the thing, my life, it was foretold from kindergarten was going to be twice as hard. So I had to repeat kindergarten twice. And I always knew that I was the type of kid that didn't play nice with everybody in the sandbox. And I liked to color outside the lines. It's probably why I had to do kindergarten twice. So for me, it was inevitable, right? And I'm labeled with one of those D's, right? ADD, ADHD, or whatever. Yeah. Right. And so the reality of it is I knew that I was going to do my own thing. And really the impetus to do this was, you know, unfortunately, I was at a firm that just didn't treat me the right way, didn't handle their responsibilities the right way, were just not good people. And so, you know, I made a promise to myself after I went through some stuff of being in this industry that, like, I was going to do my own thing. And if I ever got the opportunity, I was going to go back and help other people. So for me, when I launched Forefront Wealth Partners back in 2016, I was the president of a very large bank's wealth management group. And we had a relationship with LPLs, independent broker dealer, RIA, et cetera. And my guy, who is the CEO, got pushed out in what was a merger in name only. They merged with another bank and they pushed out my guy. And so the new people that have bought this bank did not want to be in wealth management. So blessing in disguise, I got to walk across the street in 2016 and form Forefront Wealth Partners with all my clients, plus all the bank clients that they had given me over the 3-year relationship that I had, you know, at this bank. So the goal was always to do something different. The challenge was, how do you do something unique and different when all you have is creativity and sweat equity and no capital?
Yeah.
Right. So that was kind of the precipice. So like that's kind of what happened. So the big goal was, I knew I was going to do it. It was predestined. Mm-hmm. I just know I don't like bosses and I don't like working for anybody else. And like, I just want the latitude to control my own destiny.
Dude, we're beings I call it necessity, where I'm a terrible employee, man. Like, yeah. I'm the type of guy that, hey, I have an idea. Let's just run, do it, leave fires behind me, and we'll clean this mess up at the end of the day. But let's just run 100 miles per hour and see how this works out. I am a prolific, like, trial and error guy. That's me. Yeah. Like, just try it. If it doesn't work out, that's fine. We learn, we keep moving, right? And that's what it sounds like to you as well.
I would tell you, right? This is the only change I would make in your language. There's no error. It's all there's no error.
Trial and learning.
It's all data. Yeah. That's the way I look at it now. It's all data. Hey, it's a data point, right? Like, that data point told me something. And so I think the thing that's interesting when you talk about this is entrepreneurial spirit. There's a lot of people that get stuck in paralysis analysis, or what I refer to as figuring. Yes. They're over here trying to figure this out. Meanwhile, the person that's in motion, trying something and reiterating and making adjustments, even if he went the wrong direction, he's still in motion. He can go the other direction. I mean, the laws of physics are real, right? An object in motion stays in motion. An object at rest stays at rest. And that's been my career of trial and learning, or it's all data.
Oh my God. Trial and learning. There you go, man. That's exactly what I'm about, man. And I noticed, and what got me interested with you, just to be frank, like, I saw that you did Future Proof. Was it like last year? And if most of you guys don't know what Future Proof is, one of the top festivals out there. Matt Middleton, Josh Brown, and all those guys created this thing. And boom, you have this huge festival where thousands upon thousands of financial advisors ascend upon this Huntington Beach, which is going to be in September. Tell me a little bit about your experience. Let's talk about, like, what was your experience there? And what was your, what was your conversation? Like, what did you talk about when you were there?
So first of all, I just want to pile on. Thank you to Matt Middleton. And because I know they're listening to this, Matt Middleton, Josh Brown, Barry Ritzholt, the whole Ritzholt wealth management team.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Awesome.
Like, you know, a lot of people think that folks in our industry, like, they're your competitors. They're not. There's so much opportunity for us all. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for Barry and Josh and Matt and what they're doing for the industry to elevate everyone. So, so here's my experience. Mm-hmm. I got an invitation to go and speak and talk about succession planning. So I've been focused on succession and exit planning as long as I can remember, because I started my career as a business banker.
Yeah.
So all my clients were business owners. So it's a topic of discussion.
Yeah.
And so I got to be on a panel with some pretty amazing women, Mara Zachariah, Tina Powell, and Kim Papadeus. And we talked about how succession planning could be elevated by bringing in elements of diversity, right? Okay. Whether that's diversity of thought, mm-hmm. whether that's diversity of types of human beings, men, women, African Americans, Hispanics, whatever, young people, old people, like, having this diversity and how it could be a competitive advantage of doing succession planning. And my experience was this. Going to Future Proof was like being a middle school kid, where you had to have the coolest sneakers. It was the best venue. The food was phenomenal. The people were open. It was a total vibe. It was like growing up in New York City as a kid and taking it in. And the community feel was awesome. And the thing that was funny, which I think that you're going to find this, Kevin, when you go this year.
Yeah.
I have friends that I had built on Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups that I had never met in real life.
Yeah.
That we're all sitting around at a table having a drink or a meal together And I'm geeking out with the people that I'm seeing as I'm here talking to them. Like, this is nuts that we're sitting here having this conversation.
Yeah. 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 I saw some of the names. I'm like, wow, man, this is incredible. I mean, Dunlop, we had, I mean, of course, Josh Berry, some of the guys from CNBC, all these guys are going to be there. You're like, good opportunity to take advantage of that situation, meet as many people as you possibly can, leave a lasting impression, and just be yourself, man. And that's what I'm going to try to do. But so what was your main takeaway from the event?
My main takeaway from the event, I was like, coming out of COVID, people are yearning for real life connection.
Mm-hmm.
While the sport mm-hmm. of financial advising may at times feel like a individual sport, it's actually not. And in fact, in our organization, right, this will make you laugh, Kevin. Like, in our organization, we have a principle that talks about we play as a baseball team, okay. which basically means that everything we do, each person on the team, whether you're in the back of the house or the front of the house, everything we do moves people around the bases, puts, you know, points on the board, and we all win together. One person sets up the other. Mm-hmm. And I think the beautiful thing about Future Proof is it's like you see a community of advisors, and it's nice to be able to see other people who share some of your same attributes that are curious, the vendors, the atmosphere, et cetera.
I'm glad you said that, because the reason why I'm in the industry, like, in this capacity today, is because I wanted to run so fast from where I was, like going from an insurance broker dealer to where whole life is the main purpose of everything. And you know how it is. It's like, this is the building block of financial society. And even banks have it on their balance. You heard
that? Wait. The bank, this is my favorite one. The banks have corporate life insurance. Yeah. And if banks have it, you should
too. Yeah, exactly. It's got to be right. Yeah. And this is the linchpin. And once you get this, it all falls down in your savings and all this other stuff. And I was like, and I started asking questions. I was like, well, how does it work? What goes on here? And then when I started peeling back the onion, I was like, you guys are just salesmen. But again, there's nothing wrong with being a salesman. Just don't lie to me. Just don't lie to me, man. And then we had to part ways. I got my CFP. I said, you know what, man, I'm out of here. It was a contentious breakaway, which it always is, right? In your situation, I'm going to ask you this. So I'm assuming when the CEO of your business was pushed out, what was your first thought? Were you like, this is my time to go? Or is it like, hey, I'm going to wait this out to see if these guys want to integrate me into this business?
You know, here's the problem, man. I've always, like, there's a reason why our firm is named Forefront, right? I've always been ahead of my time, right? Things are starting to execute out in our industry. Like, I saw them coming. And with this particular bank, about 6 months leading up to this, we had an incident where the name of our wealth management program was very similar to other firms in town. Okay. Like, one word. And what happened is somebody referred a person over to this particular company, and they found us instead, and they called us and scheduled appointment. We ended up getting like a $10 million account. Wow. And this other person found out, like, what do you mean? And they were pissed. Mm-hmm. And by that point, we had done such a good job with this person, they weren't going to go over to this other people now. So about 2 months after this whole thing transpired, we get a cease and desist letter.
Lawsuits.
From these other folks that are like, you need to change your name, blah, blah, blah. And like, when I went to look up the other firm, I was like, these dudes are little, like, what? Let's just tap dance on them.
Yeah.
And so our leadership did not want to pay the legal expense to go through this. And to me, it's like, if you won't back us,
mm-hmm.
this is that was kind of the canary in the coal mine for me. Like, something's going on here. We're not getting the executive level support. So after this whole thing transpired, they were like, we need you to come up with new names.
Yeah.
And I had already had our own separate side of our, like, in our world is books of business. So we had our own separate book of business from the bank prior to having this relationship. And my book of business was branded a separate way than the bank. And when this whole thing transpired, I was like, they were like, you need to come up with a new name. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to come up with two names. The good list and the one that I'm going to share with them. Okay. Yeah, and I've never told anybody this.
Yeah,
I don't care they're in the world. and so what I did is the name of this company, I was like, I don't want to give it up. I love it. I love the symbolism of the word, right?
Yeah.
So what did I do? I pulled out my thesaurus app on my phone, typed in the word, and one of the first words that popped up, and it was like Vanguard. Well, I can't use that.
Those can't use Vanguard, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so forefront was a word, and when I looked up the definition, it was like trailblazing, leading edge. Yeah, I'm like, that's it. That's a bold word. And at the time, there was all these cool names like Wealthfront and Betterment. Like these, it was cachet to have a really cool firm sounding name. And so that's kind of when I was like, all right, I got to get out of here. These guys are not going to back us up. And I knew the writing was on the wall. So we started creating the firm. We started creating the branding, and we actually went to our clients. And this talks about being client focused and said, hey, these are a couple of series of logos that we really like. Which one do you like?
Mm-hmm.
Which one would communicate like trust, and which one would make you feel like these people were established and well-known and had your best interests at heart? And they're like, our clients chose our logo.
That's the best way to do it, man. Have your clients, because that's client-centric right there, client first. So I like what you said earlier about the communal environment, the community in regards to future proof.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed about speaking to Josh, by the way, and I believe this wholeheartedly, we're not in competition with each other. The ocean is big. Like if I can have my little dinghy out there and be out there, it's get the ocean's too. It's huge, man. I can't manage trillions of dollars. I can manage maybe a billion or half a billion or something like that, and be all fine and dandy. But some of us may be looking to have a lifestyle practice for $100 million, $200 million. And that's nothing wrong with that. Correct. Some of us want to be bigger and have multiple advisors underneath us to have a half a billion or $1 billion. Nothing wrong with that. Yep. My issue right now, and this is what I'm talking about at Future Proof, there's a lot of consolidation in the industry.
Correct.
And it's scaring the hell out of me, because I'm afraid that if we consolidate ourselves to death, we're going to go back to what we just ran from. We're going to go back to the wirehouses, to the banking channel. And we're like, hey, it's such and such group of 5,000 advisors, and this is what you got to choose from. You got A, B, and C, right? Yep. And that's my main concern. That's what I'll be talking about at Future Group. But again, Josh was right. The pie is huge, man. We're not in competition with each other. We're all just trying to get a little piece of the pie, and that's just my philosophy on it. What say you?
It's interesting how you bring that up. So about in 2022, we launched a DBA off of our RIA called Forefront Advisor Network.
Mm-hmm.
And really, like, the genesis of that was this. I had been in bank broker dealers, independent firms, independent broker dealers, large RIAs that then, you know, started their own broker deal. I've been through all these different iterations, and I had watched these executives screw it up. There's a saying that goes, the general is always farthest from the battlefield, right? Which is where all the information, which is where everything is going on, right? And I had watched so many firms like take advantage of mistreated advisors, kind of like what you were just sharing when you had to run from your insurance broker dealer and it's contentious. And if I could tell you stories, right?
Yeah.
And so I felt like I had gotten to a place in my career where I was successful by everybody's definitions, right? Size of firm, income, lifestyle, family, like all the things that are that you would think are important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to that level, what you say to yourself is, what am I going to do that's going to be my contribution? How am I going to leave the world better off? And so as I looked out at the industry, I had always felt like David and Goliath.
Yeah.
Okay. My parents, you know, loved them, been married 40 plus years. My dad got my mom pregnant when she was 16 years old. My dad was an egghead. Both of my parents are super smart self-learners. My dad finished high school early. He went to the military, got my grandma to sign off for him to go to Germany at age 17 with my mom. They're pregnant. Then I come along a couple years later after that. And like, I was the first person in my family to go to college. Okay. And So when I came into this industry as a young Puerto Rican dude, I was the youngest person in every room. Nobody looked like me. And everywhere I went, the question was, do you have $100 million or $1 million in revenue? And if you don't, like, you sucked and you were horrible and you, what were you? And like, there was no future proof. There was no Michael Kitz's Advisor Success podcast. There was no XYPN. There was none of that when I started. And so I had to learn all these things myself. I had to read all the journals. I had to read all the articles. I had to read the prospectuses, all the books. I mean, and as I got to this point and had these experiences, I felt like David and Goliath. I was like, you know what? There's no network or community in our industry that is obsessed and focused on giving advisors that have between 10 million and $80 million in AUM the mindset, the heart set, and the skill set to be their dream advisor so they can show up and help other human beings. Nobody's giving them those things. Everybody wants to give them technology and skill set. And I'm going to tell you what. You don't win the game without mindset and without heart set, meaning your character, and bringing that emotion and that caring to other human beings. And so
Yeah, go
that
ahead.
we decided to do it differently. And as we sit today, is we got 10 partner firms in our network, and we're continuing to grow, all focused on helping advisors with 10 to $80 million scale their business, have better quality of life, have the best tech, and have this giant community and mastermind that they can leverage.
Man, that's awesome to hear because I often hear, and this is what kind of grinds my gears a little bit in the industry. People think that just because you put a process in place, like, oh, come to us, we'll show you processes and stuff. And again, nothing wrong with processes, but processes aren't going to make you money. Yeah, you can have a process in place, but you can build all this stuff, like you said, paralysis by analysis. Put all this stuff in place. Okay, I'm ready. Well, you have nobody to put in the process. I would rather you have a funky process or no process at all with the problem of like, okay, we got to figure this out versus have the process already built and then have nobody to talk to, right? I'm that's just
100%.
how my mind works.
100%. And I think like kind of thinking about the process and all that is that if you're given the opportunity to be around other successful people that have already made it, why wouldn't you want to be a part of something like that to shortcut your way to success?
1,000%.
I'll never forget that one of the most valuable things that ever happened to me early in my career when I was in my third or fourth year. I was always the first one in the office and the last one to leave. So I'm the first one in the office. This top producer comes in and like we're chit-chatting. He walks by my cubicle. I was in this cubby hole at one point. He walks by my cu He walks by my cubby hole and we start chatting and I start talking to him about some investment strategy, okay? And he's like, oh man, that's really good. I never heard anything. Can you send me a write-up? So I just sent him a write-up, whatever. I'm just saying, I want to tell everybody about everything. I'm just excited, okay? I'm excitable. And I sent it over and he says, you know what? Why don't we do a seminar together and any business that we get, we'll split it. Okay, cool. That was great. And so I did a couple seminars with him. And I got to sit on the meetings and watching his process on his language, on his agenda, and on his follow-up, on his summary emails, with how he worked with these people, mind-blowing. It literally has become elemental to how I do my business today. I would have never gotten that had I not been willing to give off. Give a little effort by sharing some information and be willing to give up half of my compensation to learn. Invaluable.
So we got Eric J. Negron, Forefront. Listen, I got a question for you. Social media and how we're using it today, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, what have you. Back in the days, I mean, when I was with the other firms, there's no, you got to use LinkedIn or this. You can't use anything, right? But now gloves are off. I do what I want. I don't get I put it out there, put my disclosures on it, call it a day. But at the end of the day, How do you think social media is changing the game in regards to just the financial planning landscape? And what should people who are listening to this call, whether it be advisors and their clients, be on the lookout for in that space?
I'll tell you what, the one thing I think advisors get wrong is that they're not social on social media.
No, 1,000%.
Okay, please. Like, if you think that you're going to go on there and you're some Ernest Hemingway that just is brilliant with typing and you're going to write in such a way that, like, you're Kevin Costner, you're going to build it and they're going to come to your thing and like it and share whatever, good luck.
Yeah.
The way that you kind of thrive in social media is you engage with people. You start following people. You start commenting on their stuff. Think about it like cheerleading and supporting.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about anybody else. When you take a risk and you put yourself out there, we all want to be validated.
Yeah.
We all want to be perceived as an intelligent, curious, articulate human being. And I think the element, that's where people are really missing it. They're not being social. They're not being supportive of other people. And I think that if you do that, that translates over into the community you can build, the connections you can build, and quite frankly, the clients that you will attract. I mean, just this week, I got 3 new prospects in my pipeline that, you know, they all came from social media.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I saw somebody comment about you on Facebook and da-da-da-da-da, and they tagged it, and I saw their post, and they shared it. And like, you're really resonating. Like, I've been watching you now for 6 months and I love your stuff. And me and my wife have questions about can you help us? 100%.
That's what people don't understand. A lot of the advisors in our business, they think they're going to have a channel. I'm going to put a YouTube channel together. I'm going to put a newsletter together and then clients are going to come. And they find out 3 months in, 6 months in, a year in, nothing's happened. But guess what? Like I said before, how I use it, if you start using social media and you're starting to say, I'm using this strictly for ROI right now, you're going to fail. You're going to fail immediately. It's a long-term game. Anything, in my humble opinion, for me, anything I get from social media is just icing on the cake, in my opinion. I'm more like client-facing, things like that. I like producing content, just showing people your character. And I said this a couple of days ago on my LinkedIn. I said, people have to stop being afraid of being themselves. It's like the profile pic that they have to take 10 times just to make sure it's right. It's like this video right here. I'll tell you right now, like, I don't editing. No, dude. Hey, whatever's in this thing is going to be in this thing. Like, what I'm saying right now is going to be in this. It doesn't matter because people want authenticity. People don't want that. Oh, you know, standard deviation and blah, 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 blah. It's like, people get tired of that. What's a Roth IRA? You're not going to win that game, man. Just be authentic. Show people who you truly are. And that's how you're going to get validated in this business versus just noise. And that's what people become, is noise, especially in social media.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I think coming up in the business, like I was saying, when I was coming up 20 years ago, it's like we all wore a suit and it was very stuffy and buttoned up. And like the thing that cracks me up now that you'll appreciate is that I make now more in a given month than I ever made in the beginning of my career. And most of the times I'm in a black t-shirt that I bought from Amazon, okay,
mm-hmm.
for $7, a pair of Nike basketball shorts and some Jordans or some Nike Metcon sneakers, because I just rolled out the gym and I'm wearing the same t-shirt that I wore there, okay? And here's the thing, and there's the advisors that are listening to this that are newer in your journey, be yourself. People will tell if you're a caring, smart human being. Like, I've closed huge deals wearing a black t-shirt. I mean, I'll give you an example. I was on a call last week with a client that's exiting a business for like $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there on a call with a black t-shirt with 2 CPAs, 2 lawyers, and all this stuff, and they're asking me specific deal tax questions that I'm answering. Yeah. And I got off this call and I'm laughing to myself. I'm like, I would have never imagined this. All of the things that I thought I had to be a good advisor, right? I have to look a certain way. I have to have the Brooks Brothers and the shiny black shoes, and I have to be polished and the Mont Blanc pen. It was a mirage. all I needed to be was a curious, caring person that advocated for my clients and was their interpreter, right? I speak English while the experts talk gibberish of standard deviation and pie charts and all this in English. And I tell you stories in a way that you can actually understand. You're like, oh yeah, that makes sense to me.
Well, this is great, my friend. I like to keep these short, but I love what you're doing. I love I guess everything that I've seen on LinkedIn has been awesome, man. I mean, what you're doing, the communication, the content, it's been extraordinary, man. So I guess my last question is, what is your idea of success in this business? Like what do you see Forefront in the next 5 to 10 years?
I had three goals when I thought about my 10-year plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
One was to help train the next generation of advisors.
Mm-hmm.
Two was to elevate our entire profession. And three was to help our partners that work with us create meaningful legacies for their families. Those are the things that are way beyond me, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I can do those three things, if I can elevate the profession, if I can help train the next generation of advisors, if I can help the partners that, you know, give us the privilege of working with them, help them create meaningful legacies for their family and financial security. Like to me, that's success. Because if I do those things, my family's taken care of and generations to come are taken care of. And like that lives well beyond me.
Dude, that's great to hear, man. I love this conversation. Eric, thank you for joining the Nine Innings Podcast, my man. You gave me some great insight. I'm looking forward to Future Proof, man. I'm debating because I know there's some guys out there that like to dress eccentric. So I got some pink pants. I got
you
some
better blue. Listen, you. Here's what I tell you. Make sure that your sneaker game is right. Make sure that you go see the barber. Your beard is trimmed up right. And make sure, I would tell you to rock shorts.
Don't rock
no pants, man. Because it's, even though it's California right there and the weather's cooler, it gets a little hot, man. So rock shorts, be comfortable. And dude, have fun. Honestly, the way they did it, you're gonna rock it. You're gonna meet so many kind, smart human beings there. I'm excited for you, dude. And if you guys are listening to this and you're thinking about Future Proof and you're on the fence, go. You won't regret it. Man. Thanks, Kevin, for having me.
Thank you for joining us, my friend.
Appreciate you, brother.
Man, we just had an exciting individual, Eric J. Negron from Forefront in Austin, Texas. We talked about Future Proof because one of the largest festivals out there. We're going to be rocking out there with Josh Brown. We have a huge panel that we're going to be doing as well on that Monday between 12:30 on that Monday. I'm looking forward to it. September 16th. It's going to be a blast. Thank you guys for joining the Nine Innings Podcast. Like I always say, subscribe to the channel. Like I always say, go and get my book, MLB to CFP Live on Apple and Amazon. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at info@9icapitalgroup.com. Send us your questions. You go to the website at www.9icapitalgroup.com. Schedule your appointment. As you know, we're here to do what? Educate, empower, and engage. And also, be authentic, man. We're not afraid to be authentic. We're going to do what we do, baby. Thank you guys for joining us. Stay humble, stay safe. We'll see you again soon.